want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good morning to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning in to the Refresh radio program right here on WMIE 91.5 FM. It is Friday. You know what that means? It's my favorite day of the week because it's my day off. And it is also the program where we kiss July goodbye because Monday will be August the 1st. So the months just start flying by, and so school will be back in session here in just a short period of time. And so if you're procrastinating, stop it. Get on with life. Get those things done that need to be done so you can be prepared for what God is wanting you to do in the days ahead. So, again, be praying for our schools. School zones will be lighting up here before long. Pray for our kids. Pray for our teachers. Pray for our administrators that they'd all have a move of God, an experience with God that would be more powerful than the indoctrination techniques that have been going around of late. And so we want people to have a relationship with God. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It's the beginning of knowledge. And so to start on any other foundation is going to prove wholly inadequate. So I want to personally invite you to Merritt Assembly of God. We would love to have you come and be a part, not just to attend, but to be a part of Merritt Assembly of God. Not the biggest church around, but we do have a pretty big impact. Our impact from a little church on the corners of Grove and Tangerine, we touch the world. We touch the world. We need more help touching Brevard County. So if God has called you and you're just sitting on your thumbs, maybe you thought God put you on the shelf and has forgotten about you, I want you to know that's there may be a solution for that at Merritt Assembly of God. So I want to invite you out. Sunday mornings, we have Sunday school at 9:30. We have worship service at 10:30. And this coming weekend is fifth Sunday celebration. That means we have a potluck dinner afterwards. And the food is going to be great. And the fellowship will be even better. And we would love to have you come and be a part of that. So we're going to begin reading in the book of Job chapter 40 today. And we've already talked about verses 1 through 5. I'm just reading it for context. It says, "Moreover, the Lord answered Job and said, 'Shall the one who contends with the Almighty correct him? He who rebukes God, let him answer it.' Then Job answered the Lord and said, 'Behold, I am vile. What shall I answer you? I lay my hand over my mouth. Once I have spoken, but I will not answer. Yes, twice, but I will proceed no further.' Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, 'Now prepare yourself like a man. I will question you, and you shall answer me.'" Verse number 8, "Would you indeed annul my judgment? Would you condemn me that you may be justified? Have you an arm like God, or can you thunder with a voice like his? Then adorn yourself with majesty and splendor, and array yourself with glory and beauty. Disperse the rage of your wrath. Look on everyone who is proud and humble him. Look on everyone who is proud and bring him low. tread down the wicked in their place, hide them in the dust together, bind their faces in hidden darkness. Then I will confess to you that your own right hand can save you. So, I'm sure you're familiar with the sales techniques of products on TV infomercials where they're describing and they're saying, look, we have this offer for you, and look, it does this and this and this. And then they would make a statement along these lines. But wait, there's more. So in chapter 38, God began questioning Job. He silenced the comforters. He silenced Job, and God started asking Job questions. Those questions came to a pause in chapter 39, verse number 30, and in chapter 40, verse number 1, God starts answering or asking Job this question: shall the one who contends with the Almighty correct him? And he who rebukes God, let him answer it. And so Job, in verses 3 through 5, begins to start answering. He says, look, I'm a horrible person. I'm a horrible person, and I am wholly unqualified to give you an answer. And in verse number 6, God says, but wait, there's more questions I have for you. There's more questions that I have for you. So the one question that we talked about on yesterday's program was, shall the one who contends with the Almighty correct him? There are a lot of people think that they're going to be able to correct God, and they are mistaken. I've told you the story before of when I was in 10th grade, I took trigonometry, which I shouldn't have taken at that point in time because I had not had geometry. I didn't know any of the theorems, any of the proofs, or any of that, but I was kind of gifted in the area of mathematics. And so I was working on this. What would happen is we would work on the problems in class with the answers in the back of the book. And then you got the even numbered problems to take home, and you had to come up with an answer to those. So I was working on this one problem, and I kept getting an answer different from the back of the book. And so most of the students in the class were 11th graders. I was a 10th grader, and I said, do you find anything wrong with this? And they said, no. And the person in front of me said, no. Do you turn to the person back? Do you see anything wrong with this? And they said, no. And I turned to the person to my right, and I said, do you see anything? So I had three other people agree with me that the answer I had come up with was the right answer, which was different than the back of the book. And so I went up to the math teacher, her name was Mrs. Daniels, and I said, Mrs. Daniels, I believe there is an error in the textbook. I've asked others, and they come up with the same answer that I do. I think I found an error in the textbook. And she looked at my math problem for about 1 second, and she said, 9 times 7 is 63. 9 times 7 is not 56. And I walked back to my desk very humbled. A lot of people think that there are things that God has wrong. I will tell you this. They are incorrect. And just like I returned to my seat very humbled, they will also be very humbled in the presence of God. So God answers him out of the whirlwind, and he says, prepare yourself like a man. I will question you, and you shall answer me. If you're going to stand up to God, you'd better be prepared for when he stands up to you. So here is his first question. Will you indeed annul my judgment? So I've got this. Can you make the judgment of God worthless as if it never existed? Okay. Can you ever come to a decision? You know, what we've got right now is, I'll be honest with you, not every decision that the Supreme Court has made in the past 50 years is a decision that I've agreed with. There are some that I still scratch my head over. How in the world did you come to that? And there are people on both sides of that, and they say, I think that I know more than what you do. But you know what doesn't matter? Your opinion or my opinion. They are the ones that have been constitutionally empowered to make those decisions. The thing about Supreme Court justices is they are not infinite. And opinions change. You know who is infinite? God. God is beyond the scope of time. You know who is perfect? God. You know who knows the word better than anyone else? God. You know who lives the word better than anyone else? God. You know who makes just and right and perfect decisions? God. His judgment is never, ever wrong. So I know a person, they were given a position one time. The supervisor felt very comfortable in making the decision. But the department head, so the ultimate decision maker felt very confident about making that decision. The one underneath that person was not nearly as comfortable in that decision-making process. And so they had a little bit of a conference about it, and the person said, we're going to give that person a shot. And the person who made the decision ended up being right, and the other person said, you know what, I underestimated their abilities. I underestimated their abilities. You and I, we may never have all of the facts. Sometimes we make decisions filtered by our emotions rather than the facts. I did a message. This was probably about a year ago, about how do you filter things? For me, it happened because someone said something, and I know how it came out of their mouth, but how it came out of the mouth wasn't what they intended for it to say. I have a saying, I taught it to all my kids, and they've shared with that, and it's like, pay attention to what I mean, not to what I say. Every once in a while, my mind starts running at a faster pace, and I speak, and a word I didn't mean to say comes out, and a word that I did mean to say gets left out. And so my kids have learned to filter dadisms and say, okay, this is what he meant to say. It's not what he said. And so a lot of people will argue about that. Well, you said this. No, I didn't. Well, maybe you didn't mean to say that in your brain, but that is what your lips said. And I've come to the place where if they say that I said something, I probably said it. There was a medication that I was on, and while I was on that medication, that happened a great deal more frequent. And so I was very relieved when the doctor said, you don't need to take that medication anymore. And hopefully, I know it hasn't stopped completely, but hopefully the frequency has died down a little bit more. So there are people who want to make the judgment of God completely and totally worthless. The second part of verse number 8 says this, would you condemn God so that you could be justified? So I've been teaching our Sunday school class, and we've been going through the book of Romans and how justification is made possible through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one that makes justification possible. I'm never justified because I say I'm justified. There are a lot of people in prison who felt justified in killing somebody, and the court system did not agree with them that they were justified in killing somebody. I remember hearing a case where somebody killed another person over some ridiculously small amount of money. It was either $10 or $20 or $50. It was no more than $50. And they killed a person and felt justified about it because that person owed them a small amount of money. So God's question here for Job is, would you condemn me so that you could be justified? One of the phrases that is mentioned in modern times with a great deal of frequency, I will not say it, but it has two words, and it begins, the first word begins with a G, and the second word begins with the fourth letter of the alphabet. And there are a lot of people who want to make themselves right, and they want God to be wrong. Now, I will tell you that that's never going to work. That's never going to work. You can never take a flawed individual and then suddenly they can be completely and totally perfect without mistake, nor can you take someone who is absolutely totally perfect and suddenly they can be completely and totally irreversibly flawed. God is never going to be wrong. But there are people who would condemn him. If you don't believe me, look in the book of Revelation, and when the wrath of God begins to be poured out, rather than repenting, rather than saying, God, you were right, we were wrong to ignore you, we were wrong to try and establish our own righteousness, we were wrong in understanding that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, we were wrong theologically, we were wrong relationally, we were wrong experientially. Instead of saying all of that, they shake their fist at God and they curse God. They would rather die than admit that God was right. Can I offer you a better solution than condemning God to justify yourself? The better solution is honor God, believe in Jesus so that he can forgive you, so that he can justify you to stand in his presence. I'm not here to take any pleasure or enjoyment out of pointing out the flaws of humanity. You know, There's a lot of people that they're really, really good at pointing out other people's flaws without seeing that they have flaws of their own. Job, would you condemn God to justify yourself? Next question, verse number 9. Do you have an arm like God, or can you thunder with a voice like his? So let me say that again. Have you an arm like God? Can you thunder with a voice like his? Can you adorn yourself with majesty and splendor and array yourself with glory and splendor? So in those two verses, how do you compare to God in strength? Now, I don't know how. I have pretty good muscle tone in my arms, but my arms have never really been all that strong. They look like they ought to be stronger than they are. But when I go to the gym, the weights tell me, nah, they look okay, but they're not all that much. When you are lifting, you generally want to lift with a spotter who has strength that is beyond yours, so that if you get into a life-threatening situation, that spotter is there and able to remove that threat from you. I want to ask you, how does your strength compare to God? Now, I've got a number of grandchildren. They're all adorable. You know, they have different age range. But I'm still significantly larger than they are. And one of them in particular likes to compare their strength to mine. And so they want to try and pull from time to time, and I can toy with them and things like that. But let me tell you something. In reality, as strong as that young man is for his age, his strength doesn't compare to mine. Mine doesn't compare to his dad's. And his dad's doesn't come anywhere close to comparing to God's. God is omnipotent. He has the power and the strength to do whatever needs to be done. So, do you have strength like God? No, you don't. Can you make your voice thunder like his voice? Okay? Let's answer that real quick, okay? Say this with me and mean it. Let there be light. Okay? And unless you reached over and flipped the light switch, unless you preface that by speaking to your phone and added the word flashlight to it, then you're not going to be able to have the same effect that God's voice. When God's voice speaks, things happen. It thunders not because it makes a lot of noise. It thunders because when God speaks, things happen. Sins are forgiven. Stars are flung across the universe. When God speaks, all creation starts to move to make whatever he has spoken a reality. Can you do that? See, I've known some people who felt like they had that type of intimidation over other people. I would hate to have that type of power over people, because God says, with whatever measure you use, that's going to be the measure that is used against you. So I've known people who would ambush other people, and then they would just rail on them up one side and down the other. I don't ever want to do that, because I don't want God to do that to me. Okay? So can you compare to God with the abilities of your voice? So I normally get a lot of people that recognize my voice. And there's been some funny things that have been said through the years that I've just kind of chuckled over. One of them, a person came to church one Wednesday night and said, "Your voice used to annoy me." And it's like, I understand that. I understand that. I don't like to listen to my voice, but, it is the voice that God gave me, and I'm going to use it for his glory as long as I can. Okay. Next question. How do you compare to God in majesty? How do you compare to God in splendor? How do you compare to God in glory? How do you compare to God with beauty? Those are four things. Okay. So strength, guys, you're never going to be able to compare to God in strength. Your voice is never going to accomplish things. You are never going to be as majestic as God is. The Queen of England will never be as majestic as God is. There's no monarchy around. There is no politician with protocol that is ever going to compare to the majesty of God. There's nothing this world has that can compare to that. Okay? The next one is splendor. Splendor. Splendor, glory, and beauty. Okay? So let's touch on glory for just a moment. A lot of people, when they're reading through the Old Testament and they read about Moses' encounter with God on the mountain, they like to focus on the part where God or where Moses says, God, show me your glory. There's another phrase in there that I believe is even more important, and that is, God, teach me your ways. I believe that God is absolutely glorious. I believe that he wants us to experience that glory. The glory of the Lord covers the earth as the waters cover the seas. I believe he's a glorious God, and we need to see him as that. There's a lot of people that have a very casual relationship with God. I think that we need to remember from time to time that he is a glorious, glorious God. Okay? And so I not only want to see the glory of God, but I want him to teach me his ways. But I want to talk about this last one here for the last minute or so, and that is beauty. Do you realize that God is beautiful not only in appearance, but he is beautiful in holiness? Beautiful in holiness. The thing that I realize in this earth is that the beauty, the exterior beauty of a person is fleeting. It can change in a moment. There are people who have been considered some of the world's most beautiful people, and then an accident happened, and all of a sudden they're traumatized because all they had was the superficial that gave them their worth. I want to tell you that the most beautiful person in the world is not a model, not an actress, not an actor. It's not a rich person, but the most beautiful individual in all the earth is God. Jesus dying on the cross is a horrific image, but what a beautiful picture of the unique quality of God's love for humanity. If no one has told you today that you're beautiful, if you've got Jesus living in your heart, I want you to know this: you're beautiful. The things of this earth will never compare. This world is enamored with the superficial, while God is fixated on the substantial and the supernatural. He's longing for eternal beauty. A beautiful woman without discernment is very similar to a gold ring in a pig's snout, the scripture says. But I tell you what, a person who's got Jesus living in their heart and manifesting himself in their life, they're the type of beauty the world needs to see. Go be beautiful. Go make Brevard beautiful today in the love of Jesus.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.